8 years. I want you to think back 8 years ago. It's 2015. A lot's probably happened in your life, right? It's been a lot of mornings, a lot of changes. Imagine you were stuck in the exact same place for those 8 years. Then I want us to think about not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times, not five, not 10. I'm not going to take my shoes off, but I want us to think about this number 20 times. There's this man, he was an admiral back in the 70s, and he was in North Vietnam as a POW for 8 years straight, not knowing how long he was going to be there. And he wasn't tortured one time, he was tortured at least 20 times. And this is, I mean, when you say that word, like, this is where they get the idea where that word comes from, right? So this is this actual picture from the place where he was held. This isn't Jim Stockdale is the guy I'm talking about. This isn't Jim in the picture. But a lot of the American soldiers that were put in this prison did not live through it. And Admiral Stockdale, he went through those 8 years, and he went through it. And he became, and I guess he already probably was a good leader. Maybe that's why he was an admiral. But he became this impressive leader on the back end of it. And he got interviewed by another guy named Jim Collins. And Jim Collins asked him about, like, how did you make it? How did you make it through not knowing when you're going to get out, not knowing if you should have, you know, what was going to happen, and facing all these horrible things? 4 of the 8 years, they had him in solitary confinement. I mean, 4 years of that. Like, this isn't just like a week, right? So he's on this walk years after the fact. Here's what he said about how he made it through. This next quote. He said, "I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." We're going to leave this quote up for a little bit because there's a lot there. A lot of folks in this room are going through hard things. Just praying with people up front, there's some hard things going on. So I'm not belittling what anybody's going through. But when you hear about somebody in North Vietnam for 8 years straight, like, it's hard, right? And when you think about what you're going through, whatever's hard in your life, whether it's kind of a little bit hard or super hard, the first thing I want to point out is he says he's got this, like this rock-solid faith that in the end, it's going to work out. Think about whatever hard thing you're going through right now. Is there this rock solid, like, I know it's going to work out? The second thing I want to point out about this, for a lot of us, when we suffer, we're looking for how can I escape the suffering as fast as possible. But it doesn't sound like Admiral Stockdale is after a quick fix or after just something easy. When you see that last line, it's pretty just, that's a lot, right? Not only that I would prevail, but in the end, turn the experience into a horrible thing. So when we see somebody have this like heroic strength like that, it puts our suffering in a different sort of light, right? Here's, the conversation goes on with this guy that's interviewing him. He's like, okay, so this is the attitude that people that made it, this is the attitude they had. What about the people that didn't make it? And don't do this quote first. Let me tell this story a little further. Who didn't make it is what he got asked. And Admiral Stockdale said, that's easy. the optimists. That's not maybe what we were expecting, right? He said, but there were a bunch of people in the POW camp who would think, who were optimists, right? Like, we're going to get out by Thanksgiving, right? It's not going to be much longer. Thanksgiving would come and go. We're going to get out by Christmas, right? It's just got to hold on a little bit longer, right? Christmas would come and go. We're going to get out by Easter. We're going to get out by next Christmas. And you can see how having that like positive attitude and that disappointment over and over. So go to this next quote here from him. You start to realize like this guy's in a little bit of a different league than the way we normally handle suffering, right? Like you can tell this guy's been through something. So he says, you have to always hold on to in the end, you are going to prevail. But what he's not saying is, okay, you got a lot of issues in your life. Just dump a bucket of hope on top of all the mess and then put a smile on your face and it'll all be okay. Like marriages don't get fixed that way by just saying like, oh, there's a bunch of problems. I'll just hope that it's going to work out and I'll just smile. Like that's the optimist, but that's not what Stockdale's saying here. In a marriage, it's rough. Like once we start giving up that it's going to work and it's not going to prevail in the end, that's obviously really bad for the marriage, right? That it's not going to prevail in the end. But he also says you have to have the discipline to face the brutal facts. This isn't just about marriage, right? This can be for any of us. A lot of us avoid the facts that if we really ask the other people in our life, like maybe everybody in your life could tell you, like if you keep doing this, it's not going to work out for you, right? If you keep not making changes in the way you spend money, like at some point, there's going to be something bad that happens, right? Like some people avoid looking at what's right in front of them, right? The brutal facts. If you keep making these choices to have this sort of person in your life, at some point, it's going to hurt you, right? But people want to avoid it. He calls it a discipline there. Discipline's like working out, like running or something, right? Like it takes effort to get up and face the brutal facts in your life. To face that you can't do everything and that if you keep trying and keep failing, like there might be a reason that trying the same stuff over, right? The passage we're going to read today in John, Jesus is going to be hitting his disciples with the same sobering idea of like, don't pridefully think that it's all going to work out or that you're in the right spot. But he's also going to hit them with face the hard reality. And I don't know where Admiral Stockdale got this faith that it was going to prevail in the end. I don't know if that was just faith in the American military or if that was in Jesus. But Jesus is going to give us a sure reason, right, to be able to hope for how things are going to work out. So we're going to be in John chapter 16. In verse 29, if you got a Bible, please turn there. If you don't have a Bible, I was helping a couple other people get Bibles today. If you go across the hall, there's some Bibles on the bookshelf, so you can take it. If you got a Bible from the pew in front of you and you want it, you can take it. The important thing for us is that you got access to get connected to Jesus, and that's why we read the Bible here. We're practicing the same way we can do this on our own, too. So before we read this, the youth group today, when they opened the Bible up this morning, they prayed a real simple prayer before they read, and I want us to do a similar thing. Jesus, please come and meet with us. Please teach us so we can follow you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So John 16, starting at verse 29, and if you were here last week, there was a lot of confusion amongst the disciples, and then Jesus answered their question before they even asked him, and that's what we're going to pick up in verse 29. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Verse 31, do you now believe? Jesus replied. Verse 32, a time is coming and has in fact now come when you will be scattered, each to your own home, you will leave me all alone. I'm going to pause us there. We're going to pick up in a second, but I'm going to pause us there. So the disciples are saying, like, oh, we get it. We saw you do something cool. Like, we had a question and you answered it without even being asked. Like, we're excited about you. We get it, Jesus. We believe. And believe in John's gospel, I mean, it carries this weight of, like, trust and following and thinking. Like, it's all wrapped together in that word belief. In my research with Admiral Stockdale this week, I also came across another POW kept in the same facility that Stockdale was, and he said, every person has their breaking point. Like, these guys that got tortured, a lot of them went along with what they needed to do or what the Viet Cong or whoever was telling them to do. There's that famous video, right, of, like, the American pilot, like, getting up and talking bad about America while he, like, blinks torture and Morse code, right, because he'd been tortured a bunch. But it's easy to sit here in a comfortable spot and think, like, oh, I could handle that, or I would never cooperate with them or whatever. The disciples sitting in a room having just shared a meal, having just had their feet washed by Jesus, having just had Jesus do something cool and, like, answer your question, like, oh, man, we believe. We're on board. It's easy in Maywood on a Sunday morning to be like, I'm on board with Jesus, right? But Jesus pushes these disciples, including Peter, just like he pushed Peter a little bit before. Of, like, you might be really confident in yourself and that you're following me, but look out. Because there's just a matter of hours before you're going to turn your back on me. And that happens. It's going to play out for each of these disciples in that room. And for us, when things get really hard, we find out, like, how much do we really believe? Right? And so Jesus is saying, you guys might think you believe right now, but here in a little bit, you're going to leave me all alone. Jesus came to earth. He's God, but he came to earth and became fully human. And he went through life on earth as a person. And what he's about to go through, all this torture and all this persecution and dying, he goes through it in the midst of his closest people turning their back and running away. He's going to have to go through all that pain, but he's going to show us his source of strength as we keep reading, right? How is Jesus so strong when he goes through this? He says, you will leave me all alone. We're picking back up in verse 32. And then Jesus says, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. See, Jesus' strength came from his connection with God the Father. If you remember way back, I think it was John chapter 2, it was a long time ago for us here at Maywood, but Jesus said, like, he didn't put his trust in any person because he knew what was in a person. Like, he knew that, like, we'll tuck tail and run when things are really hard. Like, he knew he couldn't fully rely on any one of us. But Jesus could fully rely on God the Father. So Jesus is strong, strong like no person on earth has ever been. Stronger than Admiral Stockdale or anyone else, right? And it's because he's standing firmly on that connection, that relationship with God the Father. And here's what he's going to invite us into, verse 33, to have strength. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus is really getting us to look at the brutal facts of, like, this week, you're going to have problems. A lot of us, if we look back to, like, why did we get sad? Why did we get grumpy? Why did we say something we shouldn't have said? For most of us, it's probably because we expected something, and instead we got trouble, right? We expected the person to listen to us, and instead it went sideways. Or we expected the vehicle to start, and instead it was broken. Or we expected something to go well, and instead there was trouble. And we, because our expectations were broke, we, like a two-year-old, right? Like we threw a tantrum, right? Or we did something we regretted later. I know this sort of stuff because I do this sort of stuff, right? Jesus is trying to recalibrate our expectations. Like something I can tell you about your week, I'm not a fortune teller, but I can tell you, like, Richie's going to have trouble this week, right? Like everybody, Stephanie's going to have trouble this week, right? Like all of us are going to have something go wrong, somebody not treat us the way we want to be treated, something get taken from us. But instead of letting that trouble overwhelm you, what if you sandwiched it with what this verse talks about? What if you sandwiched it with the fact that Jesus said, in me, you can have peace? Like in our relationship with Jesus, we can have peace. So when your kid does something you're not expecting and they disrespect you or whatever, in that moment, if you have connected with Jesus and have peace, it feels different, right? And you parent different. And then look at this last part. This one kind of echoes Stockdale, or Stockdale echoes it. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Really tragic stuff happens, right? Like here in this room today, people are grieving from really tragic things. I can't promise you that every relationship is going to work out, or that every sickness is going to work out, or that there's not going to be any suffering. But what we can know is that in the end, Jesus wins. Jesus prevails over death. Jesus prevails over all the sin and evil that we do. He's going to conquer all of it. And anybody that said, Jesus, I need your forgiveness, and Jesus, I want to follow you, he's going to bring in to that meal with his Father, right? He's going to bring in to that fresh start without death and without sin. And so when you go through something, it's not that the person you love isn't going to die. It's not that your boss is going to treat you with respect. It's not any of these things are going to guaranteed to be good in this world. It's that no matter what trouble you face, Jesus is going to prevail and you're going to be with him. And so if you sandwich all the trouble in your life with, because of Jesus, I have some peace because of my connection with him. And I know in the end, it's going to work out. The problems become things that you can go through, right? It doesn't necessarily make them easy, but you can go through them. You can go through them, and maybe that raises the temperature in your life so high, that suffering, that now in God's hand, you're moldable, and God can mold your heart in the midst of all that trouble, right? It's kind of what Stockdale was talking about. Like, at the end of this, I'm going to be different, and I'm going to be better. It's not that the suffering was good. It's that he could be good on the other side of it. And if we're in Jesus' hand when we go through something hard, he's not going to abandon us. And we are going to be better even if we go through something evil. If we go through it connected to Jesus, trusting in Jesus. So we've got some baptisms here, but I'm going to jump us through some of our slides to this last verse. And here's what I want to challenge you with. This is the verse we just read, and we're put on the screen for a minute. If you grabbed one of those little pink cards when you're coming in, or you got a sheet of paper around you, what I want to challenge you to do is to actually write this verse down and carry it with you this week. And why would we do that? Why would we carry a verse around? I have kind of fuzzy statistics on this. I tried to find better ones on the internet. It's something crazy, like the typical person unlocks their phone like 150 times a day or something nutty. There's a bunch of different stats, and I didn't think any of them were worth showing specifically to you guys. But basically, we touch our phones constantly. We use our phones constantly. Most people, when they wake up within a few minutes or not very long, like they're using their phone, right? What if this week, before you touch your phone, you connected with Jesus? Like in Jesus, you got some peace. If you need to go to the bathroom or make coffee or, you know, do whatever your house manager says, that's fine. But before you touch your cell phone, spend some time with Jesus and get some peace with him. And then throughout your day, things are going to be a problem. Like along the way, at some point, there's going to be problems, right? But if you got that thing in your back pocket, you pull it out and you recalibrate of like, Jesus, you told me there was going to be trouble, but you gave me peace this morning. I remember that. And I know in the end, it's going to work out for me and you, Jesus. And like, if you hold on to that, the suffering is different, right? Like, you're going to parent different. You're going to be a different worker. You're going to be a different person driving down the road, right? God, our Father, we know that we will have trouble this week. Please bless our mornings before we touch our phones, that each day this week we will connect with Jesus. Grant us peace in our connection with Jesus. Grant us faith that Jesus will overcome and we will overcome with him.